from the theme park capital of the world, bringing you the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. I'm Clint.
And I am Barry, and we are back again.
Yep.
Another week. Really? Has it been a week already?
It's
been
Yep. My Patriots won the Super Bowl, so I am a happy man, because last recording we recorded pre-Super Bowl.
Yes.
And we were going to talk about some of the trailers in there, and, you know, there was the new trailer for Endgame, which we decided not to talk a whole lot about because it was a 30-second ad, and then there was a new Captain Marvel one, and a few other goodies. But anyways, my Patriots won. Go Pats. Go Pats. But what else,
what else have you been up to?
Work. This weekend I finally got out to Festival of the Arts at Epcot with the family yesterday, Sunday. And you were there for a little bit. We went and saw you met up with us and saw the what was their name? The people on Broadway yesterday?
Disney on Broadway concert series with Gavin Lee and Heidi Blickenstaff.
That was a good little show. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, you got to see what the two that have probably been the best so far.
They put on a really good show. I think, you know, I have three kids, and they got a little rambunctious towards the end. My little 2-year-old girl Charlotte, she loves Mary Poppins. So when Gavin started doing the Poppins songs, she tuned into that. So
yeah.
We spent the day at Epcot yesterday, kind of wandering around checking out the Festival of the Arts, because as I've mentioned on here before, I've never done the Festival of the Arts, and it was kind of raining all day, and I was hoping it was going to clear up, and lo and behold, right when we got there around 2 o'clock, the rain stopped. It was still kind of cloudy, but luckily the rain stopped. So there's a lot of, that's the thing with the festival. The Festival of the Arts. Is, you know, if it rains, it's kind of pointless to go because a lot of the vendors close up and stuff, you know.
I mean, it's not that any of them are fun in the rain, but it's
definitely. Yeah, exactly. We went and we checked it out. We walked around the World Showcase, and we did a lot of the fun photo ops of all the artwork and stuff, which are really fun, by the way. And then we stayed until park closed, and we watched Illuminations because we only have so many more. Our Illuminations days are limited. So we stayed and watched that with the kids, and headed home. So that was the exciting thing over the weekend. So what have you been up to? You haven't been traveling.
No, I have not been traveling, and we actually spent Super Bowl night at Epcot at the Festival of the Arts.
That's right, you were there.
Got home, I think, with 13 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and the score was tied, so I didn't really miss anything.
No, that Super Bowl was incredibly boring, and that's even the hardcore Super Bowl fans were like, I think it went down as like the lowest scoring Super Bowl in history.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we didn't really miss anything. I think it's the second year in a row that we've gone to Disney during the Super Bowl. And I mean, it was awesome because it was not crowded at all.
Yeah.
And so we had a great time. We're at Epcot again to see, because that, I think Super Bowl night was, we saw Gavin Lee, and that was the first time we saw Gavin Lee and Heidi Blickenstaff. And then during the week, we saw Adam and Ariel Jacobs, who are brother and sister, and he was the original Aladdin on Broadway, and she is currently Jasmine, I believe, on Broadway. And so, you know, they did like a good medley from Aladdin, so that was really cool.
I loved her, not her, but her Ursula performance yesterday.
Well, I mean,
on Sunday.
She's the original Ursula on Broadway, yeah. And
that was really
and
cool.
Ursula in the Little Mermaid. They obviously, you can't top the performance, the voice performance that was done in the movie. So the Ursula on stage is, she's a little bit more almost diva, is more of like a diva. And so it's a
yeah, I can see that.
More of a heightened yeah, but I mean that when she sings "Poor Unfortunate Souls," it's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
but yeah, really other cool. than that, you know, the only other thing I did this week was and we both did was Mardi Gras, but we'll get to that later in the podcast. But speaking of concerts, we got a bunch of concert announcements here. I guess we're going to start with Busch Gardens and their Food and Wine Festival.
Yeah, Busch Gardens announced a pretty impressive lineup for their Busch Gardens usually does a pretty good job with their concerts. And this year seems to be no different. From Daughtry, Three Doors Down, Boyz II Men, Foreigner. They have a bunch. So yeah, it looks
the
like
the most
they got
shocking one on here to me is Saturday, April 13th, the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. I don't think I'd ever I've seen them before, like year you know, a couple times over the years, like at the Warp Tour. I don't think I ever thought I'd see them at Busch Gardens. That's definitely one I plan on going to. But yeah, a lot of these are this, you know, it's a lot of the same stuff they've had every year. They usually bring in some big names, and I mean, like Daughtry and the band Perry, Three Doors Down. Foreigner always manages to come to one of these, whether it's Mardi Gras or SeaWorld or Busch Gardens, and they'll actually be ending it on April 28th. There's one to be announced date, which I'm wondering probably maybe another Latin act, right? Normally they have a couple more Latin acts, but so far this year only El Gran Combo is the one, I believe, Latin act they're having. So
yeah, and there's one more TBA to be announced.
Yeah.
On April 6th. So we have the full concert lineup on ThrillGeek.com. And also, like you said, we have concerts for Epcot's Flower and Garden Festival. It's festival season. and we're not going to go through all of these because it's a huge list.
It's 270 performances when you count the three a day. And the biggest thing is they're doing it every day of the week this year.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much what Food and Wine does. So this will be the first time that they've done this. And there's what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I'm just counting them right here. This is exciting, folks. 11, 12. There's over 15 new or new to Garden Rocks artists this year. You know, there's some on here I'm definitely excited for that always, like, you know, people like Simple Plan who always put on a good show.
Yeah, I got the list here in front of me. I'm kind of looking through it because I haven't really looked through it myself, to be honest. Rick Springfield.
He always puts on. I actually have not seen him, so maybe I finally get to see him this year. I know, I've always heard he puts on a really good show. So.
Toby Mac, Lone Star, Starship.
It's really a mix of everything from you know, more classic rock to 90s, early 2000 artists. So it really runs the gamut from like, you know, 60s rock all the way up to you know, after 2000 with like Simple Plan, you know.
Yeah, and Flower and Gardens kicks off March 6th and goes all the way through June 3rd.
Yep.
And then the concert dates or the concert times as usual are 5:30, 6:45, and 8 p.m. And of course, they're included with your Epcot admission. So always a good time to go out there and check them out. And again, we have all the details up on ThrillGeek.com if you want to go through and check out all of the concerts. So, yeah, I lost my list now because we had a technical glitch. so I'm kind of winging it now as far as where we're going next.
Well, we might as well stay at Disney and talk about the World of Dreams VIP tour.
Let's. I thought it'd be fun for us to talk about the World of Dreams $10,000, $12,000, $12,000
for you for up to six guests.
I'm trying to make it sound a little more affordable. Yeah, it's a $12,000 VIP tour. We put this up on the website, and $12,000 gets you backstage access and transportation, front of the line attraction access. You don't get to stay there. You only get a tour of Cinderella Castle Dream Suite. And then you get special nighttime spectacular viewing areas. All your meals are included, so don't worry. For $10,000, you're getting fed.
You get to but it's 3 days with select three a day exclusive. But do you get the dessert party? I would hope for $12,000 you get to do the dessert party too.
I didn't see anything about a dessert party. That would be
how many nighttime spectaculars do you get to view?
Yeah. And then it says access to any restaurant at Walt Disney World, no reservations needed. And then it says and many more possibilities based on guest requests. So there you go, Barry. You can request your dessert party. And then if you want to add an additional day, it's only $10,000. So for
me, it's definitely targeted tour. I mean, there are a lot of high-end tourists who do come to Walt Disney World.
Yeah, you got the celebrities and you got the, you know, the A-list people that, you know, can afford this. But, you know, me and you will never be able to afford it, but it's fun to
win the lottery.
Yeah. And then maybe, just maybe.
And then we'll vlog the World of Dreams tour for you. I'm going to be amazed. I'm not getting snarky. If any member of the media ever gets to do this tour, because I can't imagine they're going to give one away for free.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of. I think there's a lot of the VIP tours that that the media don't get to see because, like we said, you know, they're for the celebrities and the A-list people.
We're getting to do myself and Sin are getting to do a VIP tour coming up here soon. Thanks to some nice friends who have money, so that's going to be interesting. We'll definitely talk about it on a future podcast, and probably I'll be tweeting from that VIP tour. So, but it's you know, if you got the money, you can do it for $12,000.
Yeah. So moving on here. We're gonna dive into Mardi Gras, because at the beginning we were kind of talking about what we've been up to, and of course Saturday was the first day of Universal Mardi Gras at Universal Orlando. The weather was kind of weird. It was windy and an interesting day weather wise. But it held up and everything went off without a hitch. The parade, all the festivities, all the food. What were your impressions, Barry, of day, or I should say night number one of Mardi Gras?
Well, it was definitely packed. Obviously these events now, opening night, are usually pretty busy. Like I said, the weather was sort of weird because it got really windy, literally around 4 o'clock when, the Mardi Gras stuff starts to happen. We almost thought for a moment there that the stilt walkers weren't going to get to walk. We actually saw one of the parade supervisors walking around with the little wind thing to make sure, because I know if the wind goes over consistently over a certain amount, then they won't walk. So, but it was fun. It's always fun. I mean, they changed some of the food booths. They sort of changed the way they were set up this year, with not having them in that New York, along that Central Park area, not having them like on top of each other. They sort of spread them out a little bit better, which was needed because I have never seen the food booths that busy before.
Yeah, they introduced the lanyards this year, which is the first time they've done something like this. And what it is basically, instead of buying instead of you buying a full size of something like the gumbo, the jambalaya, or what was the thing you had, the
crab etouffee.
Yeah, you know, instead of buying a full-size portion, they actually have smaller portions that you can get this year, and the lanyards consist of those smaller portions.
Some things you can get in an entree size. I think, like, the jambalaya and the gumbo, you can still get, like, an entree size, but everything else is like, this sampler size. And, like, the regular price on some of it is, like, $4.99, $5.99. I think there's some things that are $6.99. The lanyard is a great deal if you know you're going to go multiple nights, you know you're going to buy food, and especially if you're a pass holder, you can get the pass holder one, which was, like, was it $15 for $60?
Yeah.
So,
and then... yeah, we noticed that the lines were fairly consistently busy all night, and it was hard to see if it was, you know, I was trying to look and see if people had the lanyards on, if that was causing a bigger crowd at the food lot, excuse me, a bigger line at the food lines than normal. If that's the case, I wouldn't be surprised if Universal somehow, some way expands the food, you know, if not expands to more food, at least multiplying however many tents they have.
Yeah, I mean, it was there. I felt like there was a couple less food tents because it was all mostly outside of the Twisted Taters, which aren't included on the sampling thing.
Yeah.
It's all New Orleans Cajun food.
Yeah.
Normally there's like a chicken tender. I feel like normally there's like a chicken tender booth, and
you can order pizza fries.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
But you that has to be done on mobile ordering, and it's only on concert nights, we learned.
Yeah, from 3 to 7 p.m. But you can order pizza fries if you want. And the pickup is like right in front in the Music Plaza stage area. You know, I mean, it's always fun before it because they always bring a band from New Orleans there, and they're out, and the parade performers are out. They rotate in shifts, coming out, and you know, you can, if you dance or you tell a joke or whatever they want to make you do, you can get one of the Mardi Gras coins. You know, they're out for photo ops, which are always fun. You know, this year there's multiple different specialty drinks. I mean, you have the regular specialty cocktails, but you also have some specialty non-alcoholic drink. There's a king cake drink, and there's a couple of other ones. On concert nights, there's a mimosa bar over at Cafe La Bamba.
Yeah, we had a lot of people asking where that was. That's in Cafe, like right when you walk inside Cafe La Bamba, and apparently it's only open on concert nights because Emily was there Sunday night, and I asked her to go. People were asking how much the mimosas were, and she was like, it's not open. So from what I know right now, the mimosa bar is only open on concert nights because Saturday night when me and Barry were there, Bush was performing. So
I mean, it's you know, and I tried I did try one of the beers. They have a bunch of different specialty beers. I tried a strawberry lager, and it was actually pretty good. And I actually liked it. And I'm not that much into beers.
Yeah.
But it was really light, and it obviously had a little bit of, you know, of a strawberry taste to it. So I mean, there's a bunch of different kinds of beers. So wine, I mean, pretty much anything you can think of, and you can get the beer in a sampler size, and use your lanyard. You can't get the specialty Mardi Gras cocktails in a sample size. You got to buy the old square cups.
Yeah. you know, that's one thing me and you've kind of, I think a lot of people can agree with, is we want the round souvenir cup back. But
you can get the round souvenir cup. You got to buy beer.
You got to buy beer. Yeah. But as far as the mixed drinks go, they're still the square ones. But as far as the parade goes, this year's theme is quote party animals. Yeah. So there's six new floats with all different kinds of animal themes. There's like a polar bear one. There's a bee one. There's a help me out here. There's a isn't there like a frog
bear,
one?
Frog one, tiger. I'm blanking out right now. All of them, though, the six new floats, really, really some of the most elaborate floats they've ever had for the Mardi Gras parade. I mean, really state-of-the-art lighting, a lot of LED lights on the floats. Some of the floats have fire. One of the floats has fire. Another one of the floats has actually fog coming out from underneath of it. The turtle one that has the bubbles.
Yeah, the underwater one. Yeah,
yeah.
That has like the treasure chest, and then I think the other one we didn't mention was the bird one that has like the peacock on it, and that one looked really, really neat. But yeah, I think we've noticed this over the last, if not the last couple of years, at least last year. Universal's really upped the lighting on this parade.
I know this year all of the older floats, I think it was Blake Braswell tweeted out that that all the floats got brand new lighting, and it definitely shows. It's all really state-of-the-art LED lighting. And it really makes the floats pop. And of course, tons of beads. Still plenty of beads thrown out. It's always one of the most fun parades. We haven't done it yet, but at some point, I'm sure multiple times during this, our favorite thing is to actually get on a float and toss beads.
That's always a blast.
It's definitely, something. If you're a pass holder, you can sign up and try to get in. There's always a standby line. To do that, and I'm assuming it's over by Barney. We didn't really go look to see, but normally it's over by Barney where you have to meet, and that's usually where there's a standby line, which more and more people have learned about. So, but if you go on a weekday, usually you can get in on standby and get in on one of the floats.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about them changing it. It's usually over there in the Barney kind of entry plaza area over there. But yeah, this year, the new floats look great. There's still tons of street entertainment. Mardi Gras is always such a fun time. It's no Halloween Horror Nights for me and you, but it's always a good time to go out there and hang out. And
It's funny because we see a lot of the same people who are at Halloween Horror Nights or at Mardi Gras.
Yeah, I think it's a good filler, I guess, so to speak. That's saying something, because Mardi Gras is such a fun time going out there, grabbing something neat, watching the parade. Just kind of hanging out, whereas Halloween Horror Nights where, you got to do house and you got to do, you're always running around doing something at Halloween Horror Nights. Mardi Gras is so relaxed and it's such a fun time.
Yeah.
If you've never been to Mardi Gras at Universal, be sure to go out there and check it out. And of course they have all the concerts too. They've got some pretty good ones coming up. So yeah.
And if you want to learn more, go to the website thrillgeek.com, click on guides, click on Universal, and you can check out our Mardi Gras, Universal Mardi Gras Quick Start Guide, which has got all kinds of information, for this year's Mardi Gras.
Yeah. I think I actually got it set up to where you can just go to thrillgeek.com/Mardi Gras. Yeah. And it'll pop right up there. I'm slowly, since we went on Saturday, slowly adding new tidbits of information. I added both of our videos up there. We have the full parade up, and you did a highlight video. I added those to the quick start guide so people can kind of check those out. Moving on here really quick, I'm a Halo nerd, so I've got to talk about this Halo. They're calling it, everybody was calling it a, quote, theme park, but it's more or less a Halo convention, a Halo con, I guess, if you want to say. It was announced, when was this announced? Last week, yeah.
You mean an Xbox Fanboy Fest?
Yeah, it really is. But no, it's called Halo Outpost Discovery, and it's going to be going to, well, initially five cities, and the first one being Orlando, and then it's going to go to Philly, Chicago, Houston, and then Anaheim is going to be its last stop. But it looks really cool. You know, I'm a huge Halo fan. I've played all the Halo games. I have my Master Chief helmet right here, signed by Steve Downes, the voice of Master Chief, for those of you that don't know. So I'm a huge Halo nerd.
Bit.
Yeah, you should know. And there's going to be all sorts of stuff for you to do at this thing. There's going to be laser tag. They're apparently going to have a real-life warthog there. And then there's going to be... This is where it kind of gets into more of like a convention. There's going to be Halo-themed discussion panels. And I think that was really all they mentioned as far as details, as far as what's going to be there. The teaser video showed some really neat stuff. So I've always wanted a... I always thought Halo would be really cool to put in a theme park, but I don't think it has the... It's no Mario. And, you know, if this is all I get, then I'll be happy. But, yeah, it looks cool. It starts in July. I think tickets are on sale now for, I think, all the venues. Like I said, the first stop is July 5th through the 7th in Orlando, and then the last stop is August 30th. Through September 1st in Anaheim. So, yeah. Anyways, I wanted my 2 seconds of Halo talk.
Yeah, and I think that's it for theme park stuff, except for we will mention that the Seven Seas Food Festival did kick off this weekend. We will have future more coverage of that in the future, but we do have a quick start guide up on the website for you. Has all kinds of information about the menus, the dates, the food, the concerts, everything you need to know for the Seven Seas Food Festival.
Yeah, I got that up today, so that's up there as well. Yeah, it was hard for me and you to get out there because Mardi Gras started this weekend.
And then it rained most of the day Sunday, so wasn't even going to bother.
But have no fear, we will get out to Seven Seas Food Festival because... as a lot of our listeners know, you know, we love going to SeaWorld, and we will go out there and definitely check that out. And like I've said before, the Seven Seas Food Festival is such a good value when you consider one of the lanyards.
Oh yeah, and it's out of the food festivals, food wise, it's definitely my favorite since they've started it, because it's such a diverse menu. And I mean, even this year, they have over 30 new food and drink items.
Yeah.
So they really really go above and beyond to update it every year with new stuff. So
yeah, and of course they got the concerts too. So we'll get out there and check it out soon enough. Really quick here, we wanted to bring up, you know, I was talking about this Halo thing, this Halo convention. Another big convention in Orlando is MegaCon, and they're throwing together a rather impressive celebrity lineup this year for their convention.
I mean springtime here is a big con time in Orlando. We get MegaCon and we get Spooky Empire, which is a little smaller, but both of them this year have really upped the guest quotient.
Yeah, and especially MegaCon, like literally like within the last few weeks, the biggest thing they announced was pretty much the entire cast of Back to the Future is going to be there this year, which, you know, me and you briefly discussed. It's really surprising to see Michael J. Fox doing this because... he doesn't do the convention thing. He doesn't do the con thing.
No,
very much,
I don't,
if at all.
I don't recall ever seeing really an ad that often of ever him doing a convention. And you're getting the big, you're getting five people from Back to the Future. You're getting the big four characters. You're getting Christopher Lloyd, of course, Doc, Leah Thompson, you know, Michael J. Fox, Tom Wilson, who's Biff, and you're also getting James Tolkien, who was he was the principal.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean,
you're getting pretty much everybody as far as like major roles in the original Back to the Future. And what else are they getting? They're getting also the
Boy Meets World,
the cast of Boy Meets World, which, you know, is another thing we haven't really seen. I think they've done like independent appearances at conventions. But this will be the first time we'll see Danielle Fishel, Ben Savage, and then Ryder Strong.
And Will Friedle.
Yeah.
Of course, they were all just on, what was it, Girl Meets World on the Disney Channel. And you're also getting a Smallville reunion where Kristen Kruk, I'm sure I've said her last name wrong, Michael Rosenbaum and Tom Welling will all be there together. You're getting Aquaman. You're getting Jason Momoa.
Yeah,
I know quite many females who will be.
Oh gosh,
who will be dropping the money to get a picture with him? David Harbour, from Stranger Things, and he's of course Hellboy now, which is coming out soon. That's just a little bit of, and you're getting Kiefer Sutherland. I don't recall him doing that many conventions either. I'm sure he does.
Yeah, I think I've seen him pop up every now and then for a few cons. But you know, this Back to the Future thing's insane. You know, we were looking at the price for the meet
photo
and greet.
Op.
Yeah, the photo op. I don't think Michael J. Fox is doing independent. It's he's just going to be doing the VIP stuff, the photo packages.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I don't know. I don't think there's anything about him doing autographs. We could be wrong. But
but Topanga, Danielle Fishel, she's going to be. I love Topanga.
The photo op for all five of them from Back to the Future is $425.
Yeah.
There's also ones where it's just Christopher Lloyd and Michael J. Fox.
How much is that one?
I think that one's like $244. Which really, that's not that bad of a price.
It's not if you know if that's your lifelong dream of meeting Michael J. Fox and Doc and Marty. You know, that's not too bad of a price to pay.
I mean, that's not too bad. And then over Spooky Empire, by the way, MegaCon will be May 16th through the 19th. I know it's been Memorial Day weekend the last few years, but they finally moved it off a Memorial Day weekend. Which I think part of the reason is this year they're going to be in the big part of the Orange County Convention Center, the North and South Concourse. So they are definitely expanding this year, and they have a lot more space in the North and South Concourse. And I think that's why it moved off Memorial Day weekend, because there's usually something else going on there Memorial Day weekend that takes over the North and South Concourse there. So MegaCon is definitely getting bigger.
Yeah. And then, like you said, over at Spooky Empire, I think the big one there is Christina Ricci. She's going to be there.
Yeah, they're basically getting the cast, you know, members of the cast of Addams Family and E.T.,
yeah, because Christopher Lloyd's going to be there also Saturday and Sunday. So,
Yeah, from Adam's family, it's Christina Ricci, Christopher Lloyd. It is, I'm scrolling. Jimmy Workman, who was Pugsley. So you're going to get Wednesday and Pugsley. And you're going to get, and I'm probably going to say his name wrong, Carol Strukin, who was Lurch. So you'll get all four of them. And then E.T., you're going to get Elliot, Henry Thomas. You're going to get Robert McNaughton, who was his brother. And I can't believe I'm forgetting his brother's name because I love that movie. You're going to get Dee Wallace, who was their mom. And then you're getting Matthew Demerit, who was in E.T. himself. He was the one who came up with the kid back then. Came up with the way E.T. would waddle around. That was him.
Yeah.
So it's you're getting, you know, two major casts for, you know, some big movies there. On top of, you know, you usually get a lot of the horror people that you normally would get at this. You're getting Firouza Balk from The Craft, Almost Famous. And then you're getting some more like horror type people, like Louis Teague, who was in Cujo, Cat's Eye, you know.
And then Spooky Empire is after MegaCon, right? Or
no, it's before.
It's before, March, yeah, that's right.
22nd through the 24th. So it's like the weekend before my birthday. And so.
Yeah, so, the cons in Orlando are really up in their celebrity appearance game this year.
Yeah, I expect big things, and I would definitely recommend you get your tickets in advance. You usually save some money, so, you know, visit SpookyEmpire.com and MegaConOrlando.com to pick up your tickets now. And in many cases, you can already buy some of, like, the photo ops and stuff like that on the websites.
I was there last year, and I was at MegaCon last year and saw the Jeff Goldblum panel, which was hilarious. Kind of bummed. It doesn't seem like he's going to be making an appearance back this year, but not to say they have a stellar lineup, but Jeff Goldblum was definitely a highlight for me last year at MegaCon, going to his panel. I was pretty fortunate enough to get into that because the line was ridiculous. I don't know if they're going to be doing any panels for the Back to the Future people, but I can imagine if they are, the lines for those are going to be...
I would think they would at least do, if not all of them, at least some of them are going to do a panel. There's always at least one panel.
Yeah, get everybody out there.
And I'll be interested to see what they do at the North South Concourse, and if they create a separate area for the panels, because there's no big giant theater like the other concourse has. But yeah, that's at the convention center, and then Spooky Empire is at Wyndham Orlando Resort. So
yeah, I never thought about that. The old convention center has the big auditorium.
Yeah, that holds like 2,500 people. But I think when I feel like at the other convention center they've had like stuff there before. They, you know, you can section off part of the convention center and basically create a giant hall.
Yeah,
For them too,
and they can wall it off too, so they can kind of have their own separate area. So
yeah,
so, there's your convention update for, you know, we don't talk about cons too much here, and they're a huge thing in Orlando, so we'll try and start bringing you more coverage of conventions in Orlando, whether it's MegaCon, Spooky Empire, what have you. There's a few other good ones that happen in the area. So moving on here, we're going to touch on a few movie things right quick and then wrap it up here. First things first, last night we got Sunday night we got a new teaser during the what was the award show?
Grammys.
Gosh, Grammys, thank you. I'm okay. During the Grammys we got a somewhat new sneak peek at Aladdin, the live-action Aladdin coming out later this year from Disney. And we got our first look as Will Smith as Genie. And social media has been blowing up with reactions to Will Smith as the genie. Everything from people saying, oh, the CG's not done, give it a shot, to people completely tearing it apart and saying he looks awful. The whole spectrum of opinions on this genie, you know, and it's interesting because the debate of comparing Will Smith to Robin Williams always comes up, and you know, I posted on, I think it was my Facebook page, you know, my issue. And this is currently, you know, I'm still remaining hopeful for the movie. But after seeing Will Smith as the genie on Sunday night when we first saw him, my issue isn't with Will Smith as the genie. I love Will Smith as an actor. It's the artistic direction they're going with him that I don't like, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I mean,
I don't know what your opinions are on it, but that's kind of where I am with when they showed him. It's just the way he looks, the artistic direction. I have no issue with Will Smith playing the genie. I hope he does great. I hope, you know, I hope he knocks it out of the park. But it's the artistic direction they're going with him that has me just weirded out a little bit. I don't know.
We've discussed this many times on past podcasts that Aladdin was really the wild card out of the Disney
movies this year. Yeah,
especially out of the remakes. You know, Dumbo looks good. It's still got, you know, my biggest issue with Dumbo, like most Tim Burton over the last 10-15 years, it's just got that sort of CGI artificial sheen to it that just looks dead. It just has no life to it. You know, the stylistic choices based on what we've seen on the two teasers so far is, once again, it's got such a fake look to it. Some people are like, oh, the CGI is not done yet. It's like, this movie comes out May 25th.
Yeah, how much cannot be done?
We feel like, I mean, one of the things we felt like why we've seen the least so far out of Aladdin is because things aren't good.
Yeah.
And you know, this so far, you know, I mean, this whole movie to me has been problematic since its inception, just by the sheer fact that Guy Ritchie is directing it. And when was the last time he did anything halfway decent? So it's
well, you know, the other thing with this new teaser that aired Sunday during the Grammys, I mentioned that the rest of the film actually looks decent. They show a quick snippet of what looks to be Prince Ali.
Yeah.
You see kind of a parade, and that part looks really great. But then when Genie shows up at the end, again, this is nothing against Will Smith as the Genie, not comparing him to Robin Williams, because, you know, I'm not doing that, but just the artistic direction they're going with him, I can't put my finger on it exactly, but I'm just weirded out by the art direction they're going with him. There's people saying that he's only going to be blue down there in the Cave of Wonders, and then once he gets out, he's going to look like regular Will Smith, or I don't know. There's all these different theories out there and stuff, so.
You know, I mean, it is. Yeah, I mean, Prince Ali definitely looks good.
My other issue, too, is the guy that's, I don't know his name, the guy that's playing Jafar.
Yeah.
He does not, I mean, I was going to say he doesn't sound like Jafar. Of course he's not going to sound like Jafar, but he doesn't sound like a Jafar, if that makes sense.
I mean, and I'm not going to compare him to Robin Williams because it's one's a voice acting and it's an animated movie.
Yeah.
This is live action.
Yeah, and you can't compare the two. And, you know, there are people out there that are comparing Will Smith to Robin Williams, and you can't. You just can't.
No, and I expect once he's outside the Cave of Wonders, he is going to look normal because he's got to blend in. This is not an animated movie. He's got to blend in with with people. And he can't
with the environment,
he can't be running around all blue and stuff. So it's we'll see. You know, it's you know, I like I said, some of the choices they've made for this movie, the director, once again going with Memorial Day weekend, which has been more bad for Disney than it's been good for Disney.
Yeah.
You know, just so many things, and once again, you know, with this year is starting. Disney, Marvel, and Pixar, and everything have become so dominant that I question sometimes their release schedule, where they dump these movies out every 3 weeks.
Yeah,
and they're cannibalizing themselves and
kind of eating themselves alive with box office numbers
and it's just I wish Disney would sometimes consider. It's funny how they just almost completely skip the fall. It's like we have Disney movies all summer until like August, and then I think nothing else comes out till November.
Yeah,
I think they could drop some of these movies into like October during a holiday weekend, and it probably would do a lot better than putting them one on top of each other, like they do. I still don't sort of understand having Captain Marvel, why they held Captain Marvel till March, and then Dumbo comes out at the end of March.
Yeah,
you know, it's. I mean, I realize they're different movies, but it's.
Yeah, that's the only reason I can think of is, you know, maybe they're just like, oh, it's different audiences. They're still gonna draw in numbers, you know. So,
but we'll see. I mean, we'll find out. You know, Memorial Day weekend and whether the movie's good or bad.
Yeah, you know, I'll go see it. I mean, you know, Disney will get my money. You know, because I love Aladdin, so I'm gonna give this movie a fair shot at, you know, being good. But
It's definitely been, you know, I feel like the first few couple of remakes were really well done and brought a different spin. And then I feel like since Beauty and the Beast, they've just not been that great. I realize Beauty and the Beast made a ton of money.
Yeah.
But I know there's a lot of people now who went to see it back then, and the feel for that movie has definitely changed since it first came out. Cause I feel like there's a lot of people who saw it and maybe liked it somewhat, and they were sort of seeing through nostalgia glasses, but when they've watched it again, they have not liked that movie as much. And like I said, we're really Aladdin and Lion King are going to be very interesting because both Broadway versions are very popular, and we're going to see. We have no clue yet if any of the Broadway songs are going to make it in there. Beauty and the Beast, they didn't do that, and that was one of the things that irked a lot of people because the new songs they came up with were just completely forgettable.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's my other thing with Lion King is like there's a few Broadway songs I want to see in that movie, and if they're not there, going to be sort of pissed.
Yeah. And you know, given aside from Beauty and the Beast, The Lion King and Aladdin are two of, if not Disney's two biggest classic animated films, you know, from the 90s.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how these movies do. I'm not too worried about Lion King because it's the Lion King.
Yeah.
But I'm really curious to see how Aladdin is going to, A, perform at the box office, and B, when the reviews start coming out, how it's going to do. So, speaking of movie reviews, we got one to do because we got another thing we did over the weekend that we didn't discuss at the beginning of this recording was Me, you, and my friend Jaden actually got into an early showing of How to Train Your Dragon 3, The Hidden World. So we're going to do a review of it. We know it's 2 weeks out. Normally we kind of do a spoiler-filled review because we see movies on opening day, and we do a warning. So we're going to try and keep this completely spoiler-free. We'll talk about the storyline, but as far as any big plot twists or anything like that, we'll keep that on the DL because, like we said, this movie's still 2 weeks out. So we don't want to ruin it for anybody.
So if you don't want to hear about the movie at all, please skip to the end now.
Yeah, I'll put it in the show notes, that what time to skip to the end of the podcast. So you don't have to listen to it. Just look for that in the show notes. How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, the final episode in the How to Train Your Dragon trilogy.
Allegedly.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if we see more, to be honest. But this movie probably is my favorite out of the three, and this is coming from somebody that absolutely loved the first one so much to where me and Cheryl used music from the first movie in our wedding. So that shows you how much not just me, the wife and my kids love the How to Train Your Dragon series, and the third one, The Hidden World, just wraps it all up in a nice bow, an emotional bow. And I try to think of a better way to finish the trilogy, and I just couldn't come up with the one. But the basic premise of the movie is at the beginning, Hiccup, they're rescuing all of these dragons, and they start to notice that they're kind of kind of getting overstocked with dragons. Burke is running out of room, and they run into a new foe. I can't remember the bad guy's name. They only mentioned a handful of times in the movie.
Yeah.
But there's a new villain introduced into the movie. So between this new villain becoming a threat and them being kind of overstocked with dragons in Burke, Hiccup remembers this location, this hidden world that his dad always used to talk about, where the dragons could go, and so they set out on a journey to find this hidden world. And then, as everybody knows, Hiccup gains a love interest in the movie, Light Fury.
Hiccup doesn't gain a love interest.
What'd I say? Oh, Hiccup. Well, yeah, Hiccup's love interest does expand more in this movie. But yes, Toothless. Sorry.
Toothless. And the villain's name is Grimmel.
Grimmel, thank you. I don't remember them mentioning his name too many times in the movie. But yes, sorry, Toothless gains a love interest as another Night Fury shows up, Light Fury. And so that's basically the premise of the movie without getting too spoiler-ish, because like we said, we're not going to. So Barry, what did you think of it?
I really liked it. I'm one who's not the biggest fan of DreamWorks, but the How to Train Your Dragon movies have always been like this cut above all the rest of the DreamWorks movies. The only other one that I think that comes close to the dragon ones are the Kung Fu Panda ones. But it was definitely my favorite out of the three. If this is the last one, it ended about as perfectly as you can end the series. The animation is definitely hands down the best animation DreamWorks has ever done. It's
I think
really beautiful.
Yeah, I think that's one thing with all three How to Train Your Dragons movies. Is there the artistic value in these movies is so phenomenal. DreamWorks does such a great job with these films. Just the artistic touches that they put into these How to Train Your Dragon movies, just it's unlike anything else they do. I don't know what they do, but every one of these movies, it just visually, it's so much more appealing than anything DreamWorks has ever done. And that's speaking for all three movies. And The Hidden World is no exception, because it's, if not the most gorgeous out of all three films.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it has to do with the you know, the creation of How to Train Your Dragon by the Dean DuBois and Chris Sanders, who are they created Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah.
This time Dean DuBois directs the movie just himself. Chris Sanders produces. They've always been very talented with character design. Really have a unique style for the characters, and that's one of their things that I think has always made the Dragon movies stand out compared to the other DreamWorks films. It has a very unique look. Because, face it, a lot of the DreamWorks movies, they look the same.
Yeah.
You know,
Like the Boss Baby and the Monsters versus Aliens and all those other DreamWorks, they all kind of have the same...
They all kind of have the same look to them. And the Dragon movies have always had their own sort of separate, different look. And the voice acting, excellent. You know, Jay Baruchel and America Ferrera as Hiccup and Astrid really carried through. Their relationship has really grown through all three of these movies, and you know, it's just very well done. F. Murray Abraham does a great job with Grimmel as the villain, and of course Cate Blanchett is back as Valka, Hiccup's mother. And even Gerard Butler shows up again in flashback as Hiccup's dad. So, and you know, I think it's pretty much all the same people back from all the previous movies, voice acting wise. You know, all of Hiccup and Astrid's friends are all back. So, I think there's
I think that all the voice acting was.
I think there's one person who replaced. So,
and then of course you got John Powell doing the score again, which, like I said, me and Cheryl we used two songs, I think, from the original How to Train Your Dragon score. In our wedding. I absolutely love John Powell's work on the How to Train Your Dragon series, and The Hidden World is no exception. He takes hints from, you know, the original score from the first film, adds it to The Hidden World, but also creates his own. He also creates his own sound for it. But there are hints throughout the movie of the original How to Train Your Dragon score, which is just, you know, musically, it's the emotion that score produces. I get goosebumps every time I listen to it. So yeah, you know, it's I loved it. I'm hopefully, pending babysitter and everything, me and the wife and my oldest will be able to go see it together again. And yeah, I just, you know, I don't think there's much more we can say about it without giving too much away. Other than, you know, go see. speaking of this movie, there's a lot of parents. I was scrolling through, you know, I'm seeing a lot of trailers on Facebook, you know, because of their algorithm and stuff. I've clicked on How to Train Your Dragon stuff, so How to Train Your Dragon stuff is showing up on my Facebook feed. And I'm clicking on a lot of the actual trailers and just scrolling through comments. And there's legit parents like upset because I guess they're assuming how this movie's going to end, and they're like, I'm not taking my kid to see this movie. I can't believe you, DreamWorks. because I guess some of these parents are jumping to conclusions as to how this series is going to end. Now, how that is, I don't know what their assumption is, but apparently there's a lot of people upset about DreamWorks for the way they're ending this.
It ended about as good as you can end it. It's currently got a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is...
And it deserves it.
Yeah, it's like I said, the Dragon movies have always been to me a step above all the other DreamWorks animation films, and this one is a perfect capper and a perfect way to end them if this is truly the last one. So,
and Universal, listen to me, please. I want my How to Train Your Dragon section. I want Burke. I want a Burke expansion. Whatever rides are in there, preferably a How to Train Your Dragon Dark ride. Please, I am begging you.
Yes, he doesn't want to have to go to is it
Dubai has the little
Dubai? Yeah.
Dubai has a little How to Train the little how to, I forgot what park it's in. It's in one of those indoor parks.
The Motion
there.
Gate.
I think it's the Motion Gate one that has.
Yeah,
the,
there's a. I've watched the POV. It's actually. It's not Universal Disney quality, but it's pretty close.
Yeah. But no, we can do better over here in Orlando. I know we can. So please, give me my How to Train Your Dragon.
If rumors hold true, you will get that in 5 years. So.
Yeah. So anyways, I think that's about it for us for this week. I love the movie. Go see it when it comes out. I loved it. I can't wait to go back and see it again.
Yawned.
Yeah, that no, it's late.
We are at Thrill Geek on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/Thrill Geek, where you can see a live stream that we did from the land ride. And we also did
my random live stream of the land.
Yeah,
living with the land.
From Living with the Land, and we also did a live stream of Illuminations. And like we said, Facebook is our home for most of our live streams. YouTube.com/ThrillGeek, where we've got the Mardi Gras Parade is up there, the Universal Mardi Gras Parade. We've got a highlights video from Universal Mardi Gras, and we continue in our series of trying to get POVs of every ride at Disney World, and we've now got the Frozen ride up there. So...
Yeah, I filmed that Sunday night.
So we're always slowly going through and always adding more Disney ride POV when we can. And remember, for the latest in theme park and pop culture news, visit thrillgeek.com and be sure to check out our guides on our website for the Mardi Gras and the Seven Seas Food Festival and the Festival of the Arts. We've got them all. And you're listening to the Thrill Geek podcast, available wherever podcasts are sold.
Yes, the Halloween Horror Nights quick start guide can be reached at thrillgeek.com/HHN, and the Mardi Gras one can be reached at thrillgeek.com/Mardi Gras for easier access. So not much on the Horror Nights quick start guide. We got dates up there. And then some information about the BOGO deal going on, and vacation packages are on sale. So not much up there yet. We're slowly going to be getting into announcement season here for Halloween Horror Nights. So as soon as we do, we'll update that with more information. So
Stranger Things.
Yeah. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah. And as always, guys, please, if you listen to us on iTunes, leave us a review. On iTunes, we greatly appreciate that. And if you want to donate to the Thrill Geek podcast, you can go to simplecast.thrillgeek.com?
Yes.
I think. Maybe.
You click on the pod.
Yeah, thrillgeek.simplecast.fm. You can see the little dollar sign, and you can click to donate to the podcast if you so please choose to. All the money that we get, I put it back into the website, whether it's for hosting or some sort of new equipment. So if you donate, it'll be going directly back into the website in some fashion. So We greatly appreciate that as well. So, all right, guys, thanks for listening, and we will see you guys again next week.
See you in the parks.